Morning, and so I want to read some familiar verses. I preached out of the latter part, verses 26 down through verse 39. A couple different times doing baptism, usually we're having the baptismal service, but I look at this man by the name of Philip, some things here tonight that the Lord's been stirring in my heart. Acts chapter 8, and I'll begin reading in verse number 5. Acts chapter 8, and beginning in verse number 5. And the Bible says, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those sayings which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Skip down to verse 26 and I'll read verse as I preached out before, but I want to read them for the thought that I've got on my mind tonight. Verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south, and the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of the Ethiopian, an eunuch of great authority, unto Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so open he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his jug was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God. I pray now for just a few minutes. You touch me by thy Spirit. Enable me how to preach the message you've laid upon my heart. I thank you for each one that's here tonight. I pray for a little while. Give them physical strength. Give them mental awareness. Give them a tender heart for the Word of God. Help us, Lord, that we might leave here a better Christian serving you better. I pray you save that soul that's nearest hell in this place tonight. And Lord, everything you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to preach tonight, the Lord helping me, on a very simple subject, and preach on this thought, the importance of one, the importance of one. For we find here one preacher, one sinner. And I began dwelling on that Monday. Matter of fact, I shared this thought a little bit with the pastors on the board with Prayer Baptist, and it's kept stirring in my heart. And I, with the young folk going to school, and then you that work public jobs and other things, I believe sometimes we forget the importance of one individual. Some of you may think, preacher, I'm not important. You are more important than what you realize. There are people who are watching your life. There are people who admire you. And to them, you are probably the greatest Christian that they know. So there's a great importance in us being an example of the believer tonight. Now the importance of one. Can I look first of all? I'm not going to preach long. I'm going to have Brother Hodges update us in a moment, but I want to give us something. I want you to get a hold of this tonight. I want to look first at the importance of one servant. The importance of one servant. The Bible tells us in verses 5-8 that Philip is preaching in Samaria and a great revival has broken out. People are being saved and being healed and getting help. I mean, great things are going on. There's a great multitude that Philip is preaching to. And by the way, preaching to people is more exciting than preaching to pews. Amen. And so I'm glad you're here. Amen. But boy, he's got a great crowd and things are happening. It's exciting when you preach and folk respond. Folk get saved. Folk get help. And man, Phillips is experiencing this. But then we find in verse 26 that the Lord sends this angel and calls Philip away from Samaria and sends him down to the desert, down to Gaza. And we find that Philip is obedient. He goes, as God said, leave Samaria and go down to the desert place. Now, as far as the natural man is concerned, that looks like a step down. To go from a big crowd to going down to the desert, hot and dry, and not even sure why you're going. You'd realize sometimes God may put you somewhere that seems odd and seems a little hard and difficult, but God's got a plan and a purpose for your life, and he's wanting to use you. You see, it's a great, one servant's great, important tonight. Can I say some things about Philip? We find in reading these verses, Philip was very sensitive to God. We ought to be more sensitive to the Lord than we really are. It's sad to say this, but a lot of Baptists in our day, they're more sensitive according to their feelings than they are sensitive toward God. A lot of good Baptists will wear their feelings on their shoulders and come to church. And if you do that, a good Baptist is going to knock it off and squash it. Amen. It'll happen every time. And we're too sensitive when it comes to our feelings. We need to be more sensitive to God. What is God wanting to say to me in this service tonight? What is it God's working in my life at this very juncture in time in my life? Oh, friend, Philip was very sensitive to the Lord and was willing to do whatever it was God wanted him to do. Oh, can I say to you adults at work, be sensitive to the Lord, as God may have someone laid out in your path in a given day that needs to hear about Christ or maybe a Christian who's discouraged and they need an encouraging word. Be very sensitive to the Spirit of God. You young folk, you be very sensitive. You're around all young folk lost. Some teachers are lost, and you need to be very sensitive to the Lord and be that servant that God wants you to be. Not only Philip sensitive to God, but Philip's spirit filled. He is listed back there in the book of Acts chapter 6 with Stephen and those other early deacons. And it was said they were to be men that were filled with the Spirit, be spiritual men. And Philip was such as that. And then somewhere or another in the time period from chapter 6, chapter 8, God puts preaching inside of Philip, makes an evangelist out of him, and he begins crisscrossing preaching and telling sinners about Christ. Hey, he's a spirit-filled man. And I've been hitting that a long, long lot. That to be filled with the Spirit of Ephesians is you yielding and being under the control of the Spirit of God. You saying, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I'll do. Now, that's a hard thing. Brother Tim had a great illustration in Sunday school this past week. That envelope just had on the side of it the will of God. And it was sealed up and you'd hear something in it, but you didn't know what it was till you'd be willing to take it and open it up. Sometimes God gets in your heart, you don't know everything God's got planned for you, but you ought to just be willing to submit to the will of God because of the leadership of the Spirit of God. And we find Philip is a spirit-filled man. then his sermon. I like this. He, in verse 5, it said he preached Christ and then there at Samaria. All that crowd, he's a preaching Christ. He's not preaching his personal agenda. He is not preaching a movement. He is preaching Christ to the lost. You know what I really like about Philip? When he left the crowd and he goes down to that desert place in Gaza, he hadn't changed his message. He is still preaching Christ. Because verse 35 says, he opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. It didn't change with the location. It didn't change with the crowd. It was the same message everywhere Philip went. Now, I was reading out to Clovis Chapel today, and I like something he mentioned about verse 35. It said he opened his mouth. And understand this. If you can open your mouth and talk about anything else, you can open your mouth and tell them about Jesus. If you can talk about the weather, you can talk about Jesus. If you can talk about hunting and fishing and golf and shopping, you can talk about Jesus. It just takes you having an open mouth. Hey, if you can open your mouth to gossip, and you ought not have your mouth open for that, but if you can do that, you ought to be opening your mouth and telling about Jesus. Amen. Philip opened his mouth and at the same scripture I preached on this Ethiopian eunuch, Jesus, the only way of salvation. Oh, friend, tonight, can I assure you that we ought to carry that message wherever we go? It's important. God's not going to send angels in these days to win sinners to Christ. God's not going to have the rocks cry out, but he has chosen men, women, boys, and girls to carry this gospel message to school, to work, across the country, around the world, to tell them about the darling, a son of God that died, was buried, and rose again and will save whosoever will. Amen. Hey, the importance of one servant. You realize over and over again down through the years, one man, one woman, one young person has made an impact. Amen. For young people, I'll remind you that 13-year-old girl in the Welsh Revival in the early part of the 1900s who stood up in a prayer meeting and said, I love Jesus with all my heart. That's all she said. And the power of God fell. Are you listening to me? Oh, the importance of one servant. You can make a great impact. There are those around you. You may be shocked to find out some folk are saved. They just ain't had the courage to stand up and be recognized. But they see you leading the way. They see you're not ashamed. It would give them courage to step up. Amen. Hey, so we find the importance of one servant. But then secondly in our text, I see the importance of one soul. One soul. Now, Philip, in those early verses, 5-3, there's a lot of folk getting saved. There's multitudes being saved. But God sends Philip down to Gaza for one Ethiopian eunuch, one soul. Amen. Can I say this? I preach and I've seen one get saved. And I shout when somebody gets saved. Most mossy back Baptists cross their arms and say, well, I'm going to give them 6 months, see if they'll last. I don't do that. They say they got saved, I'm going to shout it out and say, thank God there's another one for whom Jesus died and another one don't have to go to hell. Amen. One soul. I preached with Brother Kenya there in Kenya and have 700 at one time get saved. But can I tell you, my rejoicing doesn't change because of the number. Because one is important to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I know he died for the world, but if it only been one believed him, he still died. Amen. The importance of one soul. You see this man getting saved in this chapter gave a country an opportunity to hear the gospel. He's going back to his people. He's going back with his queen. And there's somebody's got to say, and now there's a witness for his country. Amen. For one soul that got in. I thought about this. Think about this. The Lord put the disciples in Mark 5 through a storm to reach one Gadarian. One. He didn't reach the city. He didn't reach everybody around them. Him and those disciples got in a ship one day. It don't look like there's a storm. Nobody knows there's going to be a storm. We find Jesus, matter of fact, lays down, goes to sleep on a pillow, and they set sail. And midway over there, the storm comes. Boy, the vessels got full of water. They're panicking, and Jesus is sleeping. He ain't worried too much. Amen. Matter of fact, they ain't worried at all. And they'll wake him, and he stands up, says, "Peace be still," and the storm settles down. And they arrive at the shores of the Galilee. On the other side, they made it. But when they get out of the boat, they ain't but one man, and he's crazy and full of the devil and a hollering and running around naked and cutting himself. And Jesus goes to where he's at. And that man runs him, falls down before him. Hey, listen to me. For one soul. Amen. Sometimes we don't know what our storms are being purposed for. It could be to reach one soul. Amen. That Gadarian got saved because they braved the waters and they got to the other side and he got saved. But listen to this. That one soul getting saved affected 10 cities. Jesus tells him in Mark 5 and verse 20, verse 19, go to your home, go tell them what great things are done. And the Bible said in verse 20 that he began to publish in Decapolis. Now, for a long time, I thought that just the name of the city, but no, that's the area. There's 10 cities. Deca means 10opolis cities. There are 10 cities. One time when I was visiting the Holy Land, we went to one of those remains that would have made up Decapolis, and I walked through that, the ruins, the remains, me and Renee did, and I thought the whole time there was an old boy that got the devils cast out of him, come running through that town. I said, let me tell you what Jesus did, and you study your Bible, when Jesus goes back over the sea again later, a multitude meets him. Amen. And it started with one soul. Amen. No telling that one you might lead to Christ what they may do for Christ. We think about cities, 10 cities. I think about a soul in Samaria. Jesus reached the Samaritan woman, and it reached that city. She went running through town, left her water pot. Come see a man that told me all I ever did is not this to Christ. And we find out as you read John 4, many in that city believed on Christ. Oh, friend, you see the importance of one soul. Don't get caught up in the numbers game. Even though you see several one time, you're still winning one at a time. That's right. Hey, you serve the Lord as that one servant where God puts you. As the old mountain preacher said, you bloom where God plants you. Wherever that may be, you be that one God can count on and use to reach somebody else with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, the importance of one. You're more important, you know. Amen. That don't make me strut around like a peacock. That makes me realize the great responsibility that I have as a preacher of the gospel. Amen. You have the responsibility as a child of God and being that witness. No telling who you could win, young people, to God this year if you'll just be salt and light. No telling who you could win, adults at work, if you'll just be salt and light. Amen. Now, I'm going to say this. I won't say this because I think it's necessary. I remember a day when my pastor said this, boy, it helped me as a young person. There ain't no need you witnessing for God and you don't do your homework. Or you lie and you cheat and you steal. Don't you tell nobody you're saved. Keep it to yourself. Amen. If you're disrespectful and unruly, don't tell nobody you got saved. Don't tell nobody. Keep it to yourself. But if you really want to be a witness, live it. Amen. And same thing at work. Hey, if you're going to be a witness at work, don't let them always find you sitting down somewhere in the corner. Everybody else is working, you're not. That's stealing too. If you're getting paid for 8 hours, then you ought to be working them 8 hours. Amen. Hell, I know that ain't real fun, but hey, that's right. If you want to be an effective witness, boy, you've got to live it in every area of your life. Amen. So we find the importance. We can reach folk with the gospel. Amen. I remember when I pastored in Virginia, after Caitlin was born, money was getting tight, just like it does with all young families. And I told Renee I was going to go find a part-time job. I was pastoring up there. And we'd bought some furniture, and I asked that fellow, I saw a delivery truck, and I said, you need anybody to help deliver furniture? He said, be real awesome. I'm real needing somebody real bad. I was about to put the sign out. I said, I'd be willing to do it. I said, I need the money. I'm willing to work. And I agreed to get the job, went out there and found out it was a straight drive, and I didn't know how to drive a straight drive, so I called my dad, come to North Carolina and learn how in about 2 days. Well, I went to work. Wasn't long, I'd been working there, maybe a month or two, and I was leaving on Friday. My boss man, his wife said, you pass up there off 29, don't you? I said, sure do. He said, we've been talking, we're going to drop in on you Sunday. I said, well, come on, I'd love for you to. I'd love for you to come to the church. Well, they started coming, and it wasn't long, he got right with the Lord. Amen. Hey, are you here? Why? Just trying to live it at work. I wasn't lazy. I worked. I drove that truck. I got promoted, began selling furniture, and I'd done what I was hired to do. Amen. At the same time, I was being salt and I was being light. Amen. Hey, it's important, the importance of one. Amen. Hey, God really can use us if we make ourselves available and do right. Amen. I know there's several. You go on Saturdays with Brother Jerry Doorknock. Hey, you keep a doing it. You may get weary. You may seem like, well, ain't nobody showing up. Gee, keep a going. Keep a going. Amen. Hey, same thing in every area of your life. Give a gospel trait. So I ain't never had nobody get saved while reading. Just keep a giving it. Amen. Hey, the importance of one. May the Lord help us. Amen. To be that one that God can count on. Amen. Father, take the message tonight. Use it for your honor, for your glory. Help us in the invitation tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts for young folk and adults alike. Lord, that we'd be that one that, Lord, you could use and could depend on to be salt and light in a corrupt and dark world. Lord, everything you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment. I've tried my best to preach to you what the Lord has laid upon my heart tonight. And maybe someone here, you're saved, you know you're saved, and you say, preacher, would you pray for me that I'd be that one that God can use? Amen. Hands are going up everywhere. I'd like to be that one. Amen. Is there someone here tonight that's not saved? You're lost. And you say, preacher, I'm the one here lost tonight. Pray for me. I need to be saved. Anybody at all, lift a hand. Preacher, I'm lost. I see the hand. Somebody else, I'm lost. I need the Lord. I want us to stand. I saw those young hands. Let's stand. Let's sing. Folks already making a move. Maybe you need to come. Maybe just today, young folk, you need a fresh and new. Say, Lord, here I am. I'll be that one for you. I'll be one. What are we going to sing, Brother Scott? Wherever he leads, I'll go. While we sing, folk are praying, you come.
Take up thy cross and follow me, I heard my master say.
Yes.
I gave my life to ransom thee, surrender your all today. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads. follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go.
While we sing, you need to come. Come on.
He drew me closer to his side. I sought his will to know. And in that will I now abide. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go.
While heads are bowed, eyes closed, she's playing just a moment. As folks are finishing praying. And again, I'm not rushing anyone in that aspect. It could still be somebody else that you need to move toward an altar tonight. Many years ago, as a young person, I told the Lord in the shavings of old gospel tent, sink or swim, live or die. Lord, I'll follow you. I'll serve you. I didn't know what all that would entail. Didn't know where all that'd take me. But I can tell you tonight, I'm not regretting it a bit. I'm thankful to get to serve the Lord. It'll be a good day in your life when you yield. Say, Lord, wherever, whatever, you'll be glad you did it. Father, thank you now for our time together. Take the message, seal it to our hearts, and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I thank you for your attention tonight. Appreciate the Lord giving liberty to preach. Amen. And it's our honor to have Brother Sam Hodges with us tonight from Honduras. And they're in the area and passing through. We've got some other places they're going to try to drop in while they're home for a few weeks. Brother Hodges, you come if you would. He's going to update us on their work tonight, what the Lord's doing down there. And I appreciate this family being with us tonight.
Thank you very much.